Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
One down, 163 to go. On our Phillies broadcast, great to have the Philadelphia Phillies on. News Radio 1070 WKOK, I think it's the second best move the station's made in years.
You're waiting for me to ask what the best move was.
I'm going to hope you assume.
Yes. About 22 years ago, they hired me, and that was it.
And we can now see the abyss from the back of our house. All right. So, but it's great to have the Phillies on. All spring and all summer, the Phillies are going to be here and into the early fall. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great, great move to get them back on where they belong, where they should be. And believe me, we will do it justice. We'll do it justice. Okay. Lot to go through here in a short period of time, including our play-by-play call of the day, the outstanding Kenny Albert with the call last night on the Rangers Radio Network as Derek Steppen puts the Rangers in front against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Let's see.
You picked a bad time to brag.
Yes. Yes, I did.
You picked a bad time to swagger just a bit for the on-air audience. Repeating once again, our play-by-play call of the day. Kenny Albert with the call as Derek Steppen gives the Rangers a 2-1 lead over Columbus.
Under three to go in the game. Rangers move the puck ahead. Here's Steppen down the left wing. He deets and he scores! A shorthanded goal for Derek Steppen. Rangers lead 2-1.
Kenny Albert, never late, always on time.
I got nothing.
Nor I should
got,
you at this
I got
moment.
Nothing.
Okay, at this moment, you know, that old Allstate commercial where Dennis Haysbert says, silence.
Well, I was actually looking at the fact that something I hadn't seen earlier today, that the Redskins did franchise tag Kirk Cousins. And that's what I'm looking at. And as you're calling for it, there's something playing as I'm looking at it. And I'm like, well, that's not the call today. That's a discount double check.
Kirk Cousins franchise, it looks like he might make $19 million out of it. Von Miller franchise today as well. Adolis Chapman suspended for 30 games with no appeal in Major League Baseball. And that's a big one right there. Domestic violence policy banned for 30 games. And he's not going to appeal it. He's not going to bother. So that will put the closer for the Yankees out for the first month, which means when he gets back on about May 1st or so, that fastball may be 108. But they have this policy. They're showing that they have some teeth behind the policy, and they're going to go from there. But Chapman's out 30 games, not 30 days, but 30 games for the Yankees. The franchise tag applied today across the board to several different players. Not everybody did it. Of course, you know, you laughed, of course, when the Ravens franchise tag Tucker, the
I
kicker.
Did.
He better than what you got. So,
I don't know about that, but yeah, I mean, I guess if he's scoring a lot of your points, you can tap the microphone all you. I'm not so sure.
You're kidding, right? You're just doing that for fun and laughs, right?
I'm not so sure. Boswell played very, very, very well.
This guy's done it for years.
Okay.
Like years.
All right.
Like years. Okay? He didn't do it for 3 months. Years.
Granted.
Okay? Years. Better. If I had a choice between the two, it's like not even a choice. It's like a no-brainer.
You're right. He has more history there at doing it well.
More accurate history. I mean, beyond 50 yards, even. Accurate history.
I'm just surprised that they franchise a kicker, though.
Well, you look at what you have in your roster. Maybe there were no other choices on franchising people. You got to remember, you have to have options as to who you franchise.
I remember once in the fantasy league, I had a guy that held a kicker once, and we laughed him out of the league.
Okay, let's go back to the original part of that statement.
I understand that's fantasy football. I get it. Okay. I'm just saying that we thought that was hilarious.
Let's go back to the front end of the statement. Okay? Fantasy football. This no offense, but this is the real thing.
I've heard that.
This is the real thing. Okay, these are the guys who are franchise tagged today. Josh Norman, by the way, being one of them. There are 10 players who got a franchise tag. 10, including Kirk Cousins. And they have until 4 today to announce it. So here are the 10. Obviously, the Ravens did it with their guy, with Justin Tucker. And he has converted 88% of his field goal attempts, 98% from 30 to 39, 87% from 40 to 49. He's never missed an extra point. Kevin, though, of course, says his guy is way, way better than that. Than the 5-year. Do you watch the games?
He's due $4.5 million.
Okay. When he comes in to kick, do you automatically think you're behind 3 points?
No.
Yeah.
No. You mean my kicker? No, not yet.
No, I'm talking about Tucker.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Tucker. Tucker comes in the game. Yeah. Okay. Come on. Come on. Doesn't mean your guy is any worse, but this guy is one of the best in the game. He's been one of the best in the game since he got in there. He stabilized the whole situation for them. Cordy Glenn, the offensive tackle, tag value $13.7 million by the Bills. Von Miller gets tagged, tag value $14.1 million. Josh Norman gets tagged by Carolina, tag value $13.95 million. Alshon Jeffrey, the wideout for the Bears, tag value $14.6 million. Eric Berry is going to get tagged, but they have not determined yet whether he gets a transition tag or a franchise tag. The tag value for his safety, by the way, is $10.8 million. Tremaine Johnson of the Rams gets tagged, tag number $13.9 million. Olivier Vernon, the defensive end for the Dolphins, gets tagged, $12.7 million. Muhammad Wilkerson, tagged by the Jets, the defensive end, $15.7 million. And for Kirk Cousins, he gets the non-exclusive franchise tag. And that value is $19,953,000.
What's the non-exclusive part mean?
What does the non-exclusive part?
Yeah, the Redskins use their non-exclusive franchise tag. I didn't realize there were different tags you could use.
Yes, he gets the non-exclusive tag, which means he can still negotiate with other teams. But they got to come up with more money than what he has.
Well, $19.9 million, it's going to be tough to find somebody willing to go that high.
Exactly. So they left the door open. But here's the deal. He can negotiate with other teams. If they sign him, they have to give up a first-round pick.
I
That's a pretty big risk-reward scenario there if you're another team.
Exactly. So, that's what they did. In other words, if somebody else wants him, and they can, they're going to have to obviously beat that deal, and if they sign him, they have to give up a first-round pick. So it's a big piece of, I don't know, I guess for the lack of a better term, bait. How about that? And I think Scott McLuhan made a really smart move here. For one thing, okay, this all works for the Redskins. They get the opportunity to match any offer sheet that Cousin gets. But if they decline to match the offer sheet and Cousin signs with a new team, Washington gets not one, but two first-round picks in return. That's what it means. Cousins automatically knows he's going to get a one-year deal with the Redskins worth $19.95 million. Remember, they're getting rid of RG3. RG3 was due $16 million in guaranteed money for a fifth-year option. Well, when they cut him, and they will, that means they end up with a starting quarterback for $4 million above that. See where we're going here with this? 4,000-yard passer, 29 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He had 11 touchdowns, no picks the final three regular season games. And the Redskins and the Cousins have until July 15th to work out a new deal.
So does that mean he's going to get paid $19.953 million this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he stays with the Redskins.
He made $2.5 million over the last 4 years. That's a significant pay raise.
But, okay, but again, it's a significant pay raise. I understand that. You're absolutely right. But again, if you take, what did you say? You got $2 million?
$2.5 over the previous 4 years.
Right. Total?
According to NFL.com, he made $2.5 million over the previous four years total.
So he made what on the average? What 4 years? $2.5 million, so $650,000 a year.
Yeah.
Remember, this is what Russell. Remember, this is what Russell Wilson did with the Seattle Seahawks. That's what Russell Wilson was doing, except he was starting, and the Seahawks took that extra cash, the extra $18 to $20 million. And they spent it on free agents like Bobby Averill, Percy Harvin. They rolled some money into Richard Sherman. They rolled some money into Earl Thomas. That's what they did. They all that money that the Seahawks saved by having Russell Wilson as a third round pick and not a first round pick, they made themselves a better team and won a Super Bowl with it. So now let's look at this. They would have been due to pay Griffin and Cousins combined this year, if everything stayed the same, $16.7 million. Instead, for only 16.7. So for $2.8 million more, you keep Kirk Cousins because you're going to cut Robert Griffin.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They basically signed themselves a quarterback that they feel is going to be a starter for them for basically $3 million as far as the cap's concerned.
Right, but this is for 1 year. Now, they have between now and 4 p.m. on July 15th to negotiate a new contract with him. Anybody else can also negotiate a contract with him, but they have to beat the contract. Then they get to present it to Scott McLuhan, who gets to look at it and say, we'll match it. So he stays, and they have a long-term contract with their quarterback. We're not matching it. We want two first-round picks from you. That's where the Redskins sit. That's why they put the non-exclusive on him.
And Kirk Cousins, he wins either way. I mean, gets a significant pay raise and stays with the Redskins and is likely their quarterback going into camp.
He wins this year either way.
Right.
If he is franchised and that's it, it's one, and he has a poor year this year or gets hurt, he doesn't have a long-term deal to fall back on. We will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Sam Bradford is going to get a two-year deal with the Eagles, $36 million, $26 million guaranteed. So that problem in Philadelphia temporarily solved, as Sam Bradford will get a two-year contract, $36 million, $26 million guaranteed. So if you happen to see him at a local Citizens Bank, you know what he's doing.
Making a long-term investment and or deposit.
All right, Ivy League teams are going to no longer allow contact in practice. Coaches voted on that today.
Wow.
Dartmouth has not allowed contact in practice since 2010. In the last 4 years, they have finished third, second, and first.
I was going to say, they contact very well. I've seen them in person. They make contact quite well.
It's an interesting move, though. No full contact tackling and football practices in the Ivy League.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I mean, I don't want to ruin Lawrence's show, but I would think going to bed earlier and pulling the shades.
Personally, I celebrate the time change.
Okay, do I wreck his show when I do stuff like that? Or?
Well, you got to understand. I mean, he gets up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, in the middle of the summer, it's probably like 6 o'clock when he goes to bed.
Yeah, but you have to understand. I did that for 21 years.
That's true. You do understand that.
I do understand. Completely. I'm on the same page. I'm just telling him, go to bed earlier and pull the shades.
Or wear a mask. Wear one of those eye masks.
Look, I'm not Thurston Howell the Third, all right? Come on. Sam Bradford.
I don't believe you are.
Sam Bradford, two-year, $36 million deal, $26 million guaranteed. Kirk Cousins franchise tag today. But the Redskins didn't exactly lock him up. How about that? They gave him a franchise tag of 19-6. But it is not an exclusive franchise tag. It is a non-exclusive franchise tag, which means anybody can negotiate it with them. Anybody can make a bid, give them a contract. Then they have the right to match it. Or they have or not match it and get two first-round picks out of it. So that's what it means. Josh Norman of Carolina got franchise tag. Von Miller got franchise tag today by the Broncos. 10 guys got franchise tag. Kevin, extremely critical, by the way, of the Ravens for franchising tag, a kicker that's beaten the Steelers many times.
Many times?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just thought it's strange to franchise a kicker. Maybe it is just me, but I'm thinking of all the positions that you have.
Okay. Let me ask you
something.
There's
a lot of kickers that are available in the world.
Yes, and you tried them all out. All right.
So, agreed.
So you're now going to tell me that that really franchising a kicker who's really good is stupid after what you went through this year.
Yeah, but I just think that was poor scouting on the part of the Steelers.
Okay, but tell me who in the Ravens do you franchise tag?
Well, that's the other thing. You mentioned that last half hour, and I agree with you. I mean, who else do you franchise tag? You're right. I don't know.
There may not be anybody else to do it with. I mean, sometimes that enters into it. I mean, you're not going to franchise tag, for example, Roethlisberger. You can't do it with Le'Veon Bell. You can't do it with Antonio Brown. I mean, if you got guys locked up, you got guys locked up.
Let's see. Here are the free agents. Schaub, Upshaw, McClellan. Some of these names I don't even recognize.
Well, Courtney Upshaw is really good.
No, I recognize that name. I recognize that one way too well.
How about the other guy, Flacco? No, you recognize that?
I recognize that name. Jimmy Clausen.
Okay, so far you're not winning me over here.
I was going to say, and in looking at this in hindsight, maybe that is the best of the bunch. All right, maybe they made the right choice.
Best option. Okay.
Maybe they did make the right choice.
Holy cow. All right. Okay, so that's it. Now, no contact in the Ivy League. Now, remember, in the Big 12, they only allow contact once a week. In the Big 10, contact is allowed 2 days a week. The Ivy League's going to have no contact during the week. Again, I think there are a lot of things that we tell people here that I don't think they realized. Like, in other words, you probably didn't realize there was no contact in the Big Ten except for 2 days a week. I mean, most people did not know that. And when it comes to the Big 12, they're only allowing 1 day a week.
You mentioned Dartmouth, and Dartmouth is one of those Ivy teams that has had some success and does limit contact. What they do is they have, it's somewhat like a stand-up bag, and they basically put a jersey on it and have it set to be about the size of a regular player, and they call
everybody has that.
A mobile virtual player.
Everybody has that.
Well, I'm just telling you, this is the one time I actually saw it and saw what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody has that.
And that's what they do during the summer months, even.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
not many of us get to practice like you do. That's the thing. I didn't realize that everybody had that bag. I knew Dartmouth did because I heard them talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's got that now. It's, you know, anything that comes out that's new, believe me, all the Power 5 teams, we need it.
We'll take one of those.
Yeah, okay. We'll take 8 of those. Now, when you look at practice, as the season goes along, you get less and less and less. Practices are cut down. There's less contact. You're trying to keep legs. Now, contact happens in the preseason. And this is no contact at all during the season. Let's see. It's voted unanimously. Eliminated all full contact hitting last week. Okay, most radical step, Dartmouth eliminated full contact practice back in 2010. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, they finished third, second, and tied for first the first 3 years that they did it. with the elimination of tackling in practice. Goal simple, reduce the number of hits. Yeah, we got that part. Major step. But I think they have contact in the preseason. I think once the season starts, no contact. Once the season starts, no contact. So you get to your first game week, contact's over with. And, of course, the robotic tackling dummy, which you talked about.
That's awesome. I wish we had one of those when I was in high school. I still wouldn't have been able to tackle it, but it would have been cool.
You like the toys.
Yeah, it's a mobile virtual player that moves across the field the way a player would, and it's designed to be like a player.
Right.
All we had was this thing on two springs called the Tackle-O-Matic, where they released it and the bag flew at you. That actually caused concussions if you didn't tackle it right.
You know what it doesn't say on here? It doesn't say if this involves preseason. It may not be tackling in preseason practice either.
No, what I read was the same thing you read. It just talked about the season, not preseason.
Yeah.
Which I think is also interesting, too, because if you think about it, Ivies start, I think, 2 weeks later than most every college football. Like, when Bucknell plays Cornell, that's Cornell's opener. And Bucknell's already had a week or two into the season.
Right, exactly. By the way, tickets available for the Bucknell quarterfinal matchup on Thursday. Loyola and Holy Cross play tonight. Tickets are available to see Bucknell's quarterfinal game on Thursday night. So contact the Bucknell ticket office for that. See, I read their emails.
Yeah, it's because theirs doesn't go to the spam folder like mine does.
You see, yours goes to a special folder.
Yeah, delete.
Oh, that sounds harsh on the surface.
It sounds a lot worse than it really is.
Yeah. I mentioned yesterday Penn State's got Northwestern coming up on Thursday night at 9. 9
that
o'clock.
Is the weirdest time.
You know what? Usually, and I don't know how this is going to work this time, but usually the students love it. Now, there's the only way I have doubts about this one in terms of how much the students love it is that spring break begins at 5 o'clock on Friday. There are a lot of people here that don't have classes on Friday. Thus, they may take off. So, I don't know. I don't know. But normally 9 o'clock is a great time for them to attend a game. Now, when you get to Northwestern, they're 18-11. All their numbers are totally skewed by what they did Saturday. They beat Rutgers 98-57, whatever the heck it was. Everybody shot well. I mean, everybody. Guys are slumping. They're out of their slump. You watch the tape. It's a series of practice gym jumpers. What the heck? Who's running that show? And but here's a key part. Keep in mind as you watch the game or listen to the game on Thursday. It's a big game for Penn State. Nationally, no impact. Locally, for the program itself, big game. Trey Demps and Bryant McIntosh, the guard combination for Northwestern. Demps is a senior, McIntosh is a sophomore. Two very good players, by the way. Are 1-2 in Big Ten play and minutes played this year. And for the season, they rank 1-3 in the conference in overall season in minutes played this season. Only Nigel Hayes has played. I think he's played more minutes than McIntosh has. Demps is number one. You look at the numbers, and Demps and McIntosh have played numerically a bit tired the last couple weeks. Playing Rutgers woke them up. Hey, look, great. You know, it's a scrimmage. Fabulous. Scrimmage was harder. Michigan State, by the way, plays at Rutgers tomorrow night. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I never do this. I never look at what the point spread is. I might look at the point spread tomorrow. I came just to see what Vegas thinks of that extravaganza. All right. We were talking basketball. Kevin went silent. I mentioned Steph Curry yesterday. Kevin went silent. Then he started ripping Steph Curry on the air.
I did not rip Steph Curry. I am not ripping Steph Curry. I rip the NBA, yes, but not Steph Curry. I've never been a big NBA fan. That's actually not correct. I was an NBA fan when
Philadelphia lost its franchise.
Well, there was a time where I actually knew they had a basketball team in Philly, and it's been a while.
Speaking of Northwestern, Dick and I have had some fun conversations with Doug Collins about said Philadelphia franchise. We will leave it at that. Okay. You may continue.
No, I liked watching the Bulls in the 80s. I thought that was a real basketball team. Everybody had a job on that team and knew what they needed to do. It wasn't always feed Jordan, feed Jordan, feed Jordan. And then after that, it became feed the star on each team, and he'd have 40 points and everybody else would have 10. And that's when I stopped watching, and I just haven't come back.
You love how Golden State plays. They move the ball and they make plays. There are a lot of things about the NBA that are better. Number one, these are the best players in the world playing. Let's just start with that. Talent level's highest it is anywhere. Number two, there are certain things that they do coaching-wise. Two-for-ones, understanding situation, clock, things like that. They do it much better than college game does. College game has less trust for obvious reasons. They are 18 to 22, so the trust level is not going to be, you know, what it is. Instead of like, yeah, we're going to give Steph Curry the ball. I trust him. Let's give LeBron the ball here with 8 seconds left. I trust him. All right, so there's a little bit, there's some trust issues there, obviously. Do some teams just feed the star, and they're just poor basketball teams? Yeah. But you watch how the Celtics play now with Brad Stevens. You watch how Golden State plays. There are several teams out there that really, you know, San Antonio plays a beautiful team game. Golden State plays a beautiful team game. The Celtics play a beautiful team game. So once again, another slice of Kevin Herr hatred.
Maybe I'll watch it again someday.
You got to watch Golden State at least once. At least that way you know what you're seeing.
I have to wait till they come to the East Coast. I can't stay up that late to watch it at night.
Oh, come on. Jeez. They'll be out in the playoffs. You got to watch them once or twice and see. By the way, something else significant is coming up, too. But we'll talk about the 50th anniversary of something incredibly significant in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The 50th anniversary of something really significant is coming up. It's going to be on March 19th. And on March 19th, 1966, Texas Western, with an all-black starting lineup, first time that had ever happened in a national championship game, beat Adolph Rupp and Kentucky to win the national championship. 72-65. Don Haskins was the coach. I met Don Haskins once. Met the Bear in 97. He was in his next to last year. Is it 97 or 98? He was either in his last year or his next to last year as the head coach at Texas El Paso, which previously was Texas Western. And it was a privilege to meet him. But, you know, it was interesting in talking with him. that he really wanted. Like, in other words, they had faced other teams that had African-American players on it. They regularly played New Mexico State, New Mexico, Arizona, Arizona State. They regularly played those teams. Now, they didn't have all five players in the starting lineup. But it should be pointed out, in all fairness, Texas Western, it was significant because it was Adolph Rupp in Kentucky. That's one of part of the real significance here. Because, of course, Rupp, the famous story that Mike Lubica told about Connie Hawkins, you know, that he wanted to know about Connie Hawkins, and then he asked whether he was black or white, and he was told he was Connie Hawkins, of course, black. And he said, well, I wish they'd just put an asterisk in the paper and let us know one way or the other. That's the Mike Lubica story about Adolph Rupp. So that's what made it partially significant 50 years ago. It is not as if other things like that hadn't happened. Remember, Bill Russell and Casey Jones led San Francisco to back-to-back titles in 55 and 56, and the two of them then helped lead the United States to a gold medal in Melbourne in 56. Cincinnati in 1962, when they beat Ohio State, had four African-American starters. Loyola of Chicago in 1963 had four African-American starters, but never had they been five on the floor at the same time. That team only lost one game that year, and that game was at Seattle. In that game at Seattle, there were no fouls called against Seattle in the game. None. Zero. In fact, at Cole Fieldhouse, when they won, they climbed up on each other's shoulders to cut the net down. They wouldn't bring a ladder out for them. But it's more celebrated today, maybe, than it was even back then. But it still is the 50th anniversary of it coming up. When I went down to Maryland a year ago, they're taking Cole Fieldhouse right now, and they're turning it into an indoor football facility. Well, last year, it was still up as the basketball configuration and used for intramurals. And I had to go in there because I had never been in there before. And the reason I went in there is I wanted to be in the building where such a historical event took, when such a historical event took place. It's just a slice of history. I don't know how much it's going to be talked about here in the next couple of weeks, next 3 weeks. I think it will be. But I thought I'd at least bring it up. Another big day for Kevin, hating on Steph Curry, hating on the Ravens, hating on Justin Tucker.
But I did let the Browns go today.